Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Now, the British ambassador to Ireland, he hosts, or they host an event every year outside, outdoors, to mark basically their king's birthday, the British monarch, at the residence in South Dublin's outdoors. And the outgoing ambassador is Paul Johnston, who's a friend of this programme, as you know, because he's been our visiting critic in the past. And in his speech last night, he stunned the 700 people gathered in the garden with an announcement. So Paul Johnston has been here, British ambassador to Ireland, for 5 years. He was due to return to the British Foreign Office, where he's worked all of his life in the diplomatic service. And he previously has been in other countries, and you're kind of wondering, he'll be an ambassador somewhere else next. And Paul and his wife, Nicola, they enjoy their time in this country so much, they announced that they're staying in Dublin for good. Ambassador Paul Johnston is on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Oliver. How are you?
I'm very well, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
This is, I think, unprecedented for a British ambassador to Ireland.
I think it probably is. It's not unprecedented for British ambassadors, because my colleagues in, I think, Spain, Sweden and Portugal in the last few years have all decided to stay on in the country where they've done their sort of last or latest posting. But I think I'm the first in the long line of British ambassador to Ireland to have made that decision immediately after finishing the job here. So, but absolutely delighted with the decision and the very nice reception I had at our very nice reception last night.
Well, we're delighted to keep you, but we wonder, have things deteriorated so much in Britain that you won't even return there?
That's an extremely undiplomatic question. No, it's not that at all. I really enjoyed working for the British government, and I really enjoyed my time working in London as part of my career. And I feel very positive about Britain's future, but I feel just as positive about Ireland's future. And there's just something about Ireland and about Dublin in particular that Nicola and I sort of, over the course of the last little while, we sort of turned our mind towards what to do next. And we thought it was going to be really difficult to leave this place, as it's been difficult to leave a number of our postings, but particularly this one. And then we thought, well, actually, we don't need to leave. We could make a different decision and head off in a new direction. And it was one of those decisions like Hemingway says about losing money. It happened sort of gradually and then suddenly, and it's all come together. So we're delighted.
It's lovely news. And of course, for people who don't understand or don't know, apart from our conversation last time, is that you were due to leave last year, but you wanted to stay on an extra year.
Exactly. And I was allowed to do an extra year, which I was really happy about, because I lost, in a sense, the first year and a bit I was here because of the COVID pandemic.
Of course. Yeah.
And the last year has seen a sort of steady improvement in the relationship. And we've had a very successful British-Irish summit. We've had the Taoiseach going to be hosted by the Prime Minister, his first international guest last year. We had the Prime Minister coming here last autumn. So there's been a real sort of uptick in the relationship. And after a few years when, you know, it was quite a difficult sort of patch to navigate, this has been, the last year or so has been a really enjoyable and much more sort of productive period. So it's been nice in that sense to be ending on a high note in terms of a steadily improving relationship.
It's quite a big step, isn't it? Because you previously ambassador, British ambassador to Sweden, you were represented for Britain in the US as well at one stage, and then you came to Ireland at the kind of tricky Brexity time.
Mm-hmm.
You would have gone back to a plum job in the British Foreign Office, but you're leaving diplomatic service entirely.
Yeah, I could have gone back to a plum job in the Foreign Office, and I've loved all the jobs I've done. I've been lucky enough to represent Britain in the UN, at NATO, in the European Union, as well as being an ambassador in Sweden, serving in Paris as well. And all of them have been fantastic experiences. So it says a lot about how much we've both sort of fallen in love with Ireland and all of you guys, that that I'm throwing all that up to throw my hat into the employment ring here.
Oh, you're saying all the right things, always. But you've seen more of Ireland than a lot of us. You've toured as many counties as yourself and Nicola could fit in on your private holidays.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've visited all of them sort of professionally, and if I've done my math correctly, I think we've now stayed in 23 out of the 26. So the other three are
32.
On our bucket list. You're just trying to cause trouble this morning, so no change there.
Oh, you're still the ambassador. Sorry, I've just forgotten.
Exactly, and you're still a mischief maker.
But 23 anyway, counties.
There you go. A 22 out of something.
Very good.
You can do the rest of the maths yourself.
There is a lot of speculation in the papers about what you might do next. I presume you have a job and a place to live and all sorted when you formally step down in September.
Yeah, we've got that sorted. I can't say yet what the job is, because even though I'm leaving the British government public service, because of my sort of senior grade, the application needs to be approved by an advisory committee on business appointments. So that is, I don't think there'll be any trouble, but that's sort of just going through the motions at the moment. But I would have hoped last night, if the timings had worked out, to be able to say what I was doing next. But I hope to be able to say in a few weeks' time. But let's just say Joe Duffy taking early retirement is no coincidence. I'm joking, by the way, in case you're getting anxious,
yes,
or anyone else is now
facing
diminished prospects.
I don't know if you've already probably read it this morning, because you're up at 3 a.m. every day reading everything. The Irish Independent is speculating that you will take up a role in the education sector.
Well, that's purely speculation at this stage. That's all I can say.
Okay.
I could teach you some manners, young Mr. Callan. How about that?
Okay, well, you'll prefer this one then, because you have said in the past your dream job was to be a judge on Dancing with the Stars.
Yes. No, and we had a couple of the current judges, as I now like to frame them, we had a couple of the current judges or the outgoing judges at the party last night. I think I lack the professional qualifications. After my exposure on your programme, I guess I could think about sort of, if RTE did a sort of, you know, one of those reality shows on rug tufting, I could be a judge on that, perhaps.
That's right,
we'll have to pitch that to the Director General.
As visiting critic, you went rug tufting and created a giraffe.
Yes, which is now very proudly in our library at Glencairn, and we'll have a proud place in our new home as well. So we have much to thank you for.
You enjoyed rug tufting so much, you've ended your career.
A career change, yes, exactly. What prompted this change in your glittering diplomatic career? I tufted a rug, thanks to Oliver Callan, and I've taken a whole new chapter, a whole new direction.
I've described you before as the co-ambassadors, because yourself and Nicola have been so incredible. You've met everyone in Ireland, and Nicola's
obviously... Well, she's been a huge part of whatever I've been able to achieve here in all sorts of ways. She's been absolutely brilliant, and she's loved it as well. And it was, funnily enough, we were going for a walk in... Actually, back in the UK, near where her parents live, and we were just talking about how much we loved Ireland, and we sort of turned to each other, and it was almost like when I proposed to her, we just had this sudden realization that this is what we wanted to do, and she's been a massive part of everything I've done here, and will be a massive part of the future. So now we're both just extremely happy that we've made this decision, and we couldn't be more pleased about it.
Well, it's a lovely story. It's a fantastic story, and we wish you well.
You're very kind.
You've plenty of work to do, though, don't you, between now and September?
Oh, yeah. No, still got another 3 months to do, and lots of exciting visits and ministerial activity and commercial activity. The government launching a big new industrial strategy this week, and you only need to look at other bits of the newspaper to see that there's lots of complex and complicated things going on in the world where Britain and Ireland are working closely together.
Oh,
so yes,
yeah,
there's lots to do until I hand the baton to my excellent successor, Cara Owen, at the end of September.
Unfortunately, I spent way too much time talking of rug tufting. I didn't have time to discuss British and Irish relations. But we cover the important things.
We'll come on to the second order stuff another day.
Those three counties are wondering.
We can talk about the tapestry of British-Irish relations and how rug tufting is all that.
Very good. You see, you could be on radio with that kind of attitude.
There you go, a good face for radio.
We let you get back to work. Thank you so much, Ambassador Paul Johnston. The best to Nicola, and they are welcome new residents of Ireland from September when they leave the Foreign Office. Someone is in touch saying the former British ambassador here, John Peck, spent his retirement years living happily in Dunleary. He was the ambassador in 1972 when the British Embassy in Merrion Square was burned down. That, of course, was right after Bloody Sunday in Derry. As someone says, the British ambassador must never have been to Clare. If he went to the Burn, he'd never want to live in Dublin. Beautiful Clare, he'd never want to leave. Well, we don't know the speculation of where he's going to himself and Nicola end up living. You never know. It could be Clare. He's seen something on his travels that made him want to stay here. Now, as I said, there's so much happening across the weekend. And this woman is in town. Dua Lipa with her book club and her pop stuff in tow. It's Friday.